At 8:30 the next morning, when the doors opened at the Neptune Beach post office, an agent named Barr walked hurriedly in as if he were late for something. Barr was an expert on locks and keys, and he'd spent 5 hours the previous afternoon at Langley studying various boxes used by the Postal Service. He had 4 master keys, one of which he was certain would open number 44683. If not, he'd be forced to key it, which might take 60 seconds or so and could possibly draw attention. The third key worked, and Barr placed the brown envelope, postmarked the day before from Tampa, addressed to Ricky with no last name, care of Aladdin North, inside the box. There were 2 other letters already there. For good measure, he removed a piece of junk mail, then closed the door to the box, wadded up the mail, and threw it in the wastebasket. Barr and 2 others waited patiently in a van in the parking lot, sipping coffee and videoing every postal customer. They were 70 yards away from the box. Their handheld receiver beeped with the faint signal from the envelope. A diverse group came and went with the flow, a black female in a short brown dress, a white male with a beard and leather jacket, a white female in a jogging suit, a black male in jeans. All agents of the CIA, all watching the box, without a clue about who wrote the letter or where it was going. Their job was simply to find the person who'd rented the box. They found him after lunch. Trevor drank his lunch at Pete's, but only 2 beers. Cold drafts with salty peanuts from the community bowl, consumed while losing $50 on a dog sled race in Calgary. Back at the office, he napped for an hour, snoring so loudly his long-suffering secretary finally had to close his door. She slammed it, actually, but not loud enough to wake him. Dreaming of sailboats, he made his trek to the post office. This time, choosing to walk, because the day was beautiful, he had nothing better to do, and his head needed clearing. He was delighted to find 4 of the little treasures angled neatly in Aladdin North's box. He placed them carefully in the pocket of his well-worn seersucker jacket, straightened his bow tie, and ambled forth, certain that another payday was fast approaching. He'd never been tempted to read the letters. Let the brethren do the dirty work. He could keep his hands clean, shuttle the mail, rake his third off the top. And besides, Spicer would kill him if he delivered mail that had been tampered with. 7 agents watched him stroll back to his office. Teddy was napping in his wheelchair when DeVille entered. York had gone home. It was after 10 p.m. York had a wife. Teddy did not. DeVille delivered his narrative while referring to pages of scribbled notes. The letter was removed from the box at 1:50 p.m. by a local lawyer named Trevor Carson. We followed him to his office in Neptune Beach, where he stayed for 80 minutes. It's a small one-man office, 1 secretary, not a lot of clients. Carson is a small timer along the beaches. Does divorces, real estate, 2-bit stuff. He's 48, divorced at least twice, native of Pennsylvania, college at Furman, law school at Florida State, got his license suspended 11 years ago for commingling client funds, then got it back.
All right, Teddy said.
At 3:30, he left his office, drove an hour to the federal prison at Trumbull, Florida, took the letters with him. We followed but lost the signal when he entered the prison. Since then, we've gathered some information about Trumbull. It's a minimum security prison, commonly referred to as a camp. No walls or fences, very low-risk inmates. 1,000 of them at Trumbull. According to a source within the Bureau of Prisons here in Washington, Carson visits there all the time. No other lawyer, no other person visits as much as Carson. Up until a month ago, he went once a week. Now it's at least 3 times a week, sometimes 4. All visits are official attorney-client conferences.
Who is his client?
It's not Ricky. He is the attorney of record for 3 judges.
3 judges?
Yes.
3 judges in prison?
That's right. They call themselves the Brethren.
Teddy closed his eyes and rubbed his temples.
DeVille let things sink in for a moment, then continued. Carson was in the prison for 54 minutes, and when he exited, we could not pick up the signal from the envelope. By this time, we were parked next to his car. He walked within 5 feet of our receiver and were certain he did not have the letter. We followed him back to Jacksonville, back to the beaches. He parked near a place called Pete's Bar and Grill, where he stayed for 3 hours. We searched his car, found his briefcase, and inside there were 8 letters addressed to various men all over the country. All letters were outbound from the prison, none were inbound. Evidently, Carson shuttles mail back and forth to his clients. As of 30 minutes ago, he was still in the bar, quite drunk, betting on college basketball games.
A loser.
Very much so.